This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, question. What is your customer oil change service like? Have you transitioned to synthetic oil only for your customers? How do you stock all grades and weights? Well, the days of the $20 oil changes every 3 months is pretty much gone. Hey, Carm here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. Glad to have you by. You know, my panel of shop owners discusses why they have synthetic-only oil service and how it's improved their efficiency in the bays and for their customers. If you've not implemented this business strategy, learn in this episode why you need to do it. Hey, thanks to our partner Shopware and Broadly for providing this episode. You know, you call, you text, then you have to track what everyone said to a customer. Well, not anymore. With DVX, every detail ends up in one thread. Even better, DVX has a messenger platform that works like Facebook. Tap into the SMS of the future on the web. Talk to my friends at GetShopware.com. Hey, are you looking to upgrade your website and make it easier for customers to connect with your shop? Well, let Broadly build you a professional, responsive website you can be proud to show off. On the web at GetBroadly.com/chat. Look at this great group of friends. I love to listen to what you guys are talking about, and I can't quite remember where it was, guys, that somebody started to have a lively debate about synthetic, semi-synthetic, and mineral, and I got so many oils, and I think my customers are as confused as I am. And of course, you know me, we got to do an episode. We got to clear this thing up. So that's why you guys are all here. I guess what I want to know, Bill, is the customer confused? And I know you're a proponent of a singular oil change. Am I right, Bill?
Absolutely.
When you go to the doctor says, listen, this is how I treat X. And why aren't we telling our customer, this is what we do for oil changes, and this is why it works. And the story goes, and not enough people, I think, are bought in to the fact that you'll spend as much money over time if you do it our way, but you don't have to come in as often.
Because I'm in the stream of this incredible brotherhood, sisterhood, in this industry. Joe had come on, Mr. Hansen himself here, came by and visited the shop, and we had a conversation about some things, and then I went and visited his shop. And in the course of having conversations with great shop owners, that back and forth, I said to him, I said, what are you doing with semi-synthetic oil? And he said, we just got rid of it. He says, why hassle with it? I just went to full synthetic. And he planted that seed. And it's amazing what happens when you know that you could be doing something to dial up the efficiency at your shop. And then not until somebody that you know and respect says, you know what, you should do that. Because they're essentially telling you you're on the right track. And so within a couple of weeks of that, I started researching tanks and gravity feeding and what have you. And maybe this is a topic for another show, Carm, but we could do a show about sort of what it looks like, different shops having different setups and feeding, gravity feeding, what have you. But in our case, we had three plastic pallets, and each one of them had four 55-gallon drums of every grade and fluid you can imagine. It was just ridiculously complicated. And we already had shelving that we used for other stuff. And so I can't believe how much more room. We've got two cars of more room in the shop now. At this point, what is that worth to us when we do that? So as we have this discussion here, the one thing that we've got to realize is that this idea that if we're going to convince a customer that we're going to have synthetic oil changes for $100, before you convince that customer, how about you convince yourself? How about you convince your employees?
Yeah, if you don't have buy-in.
That $100 oil change doesn't cost twice as much as the $50 oil change. You're buying two oil changes at the same time, people. So that's the conversation that I'm hoping that we head down.
When we visited this, number one, obviously it's about, you know, there's so many different oils and whatnot out there. But when we take a step back, I mean, we wanted to look at this and say, okay, are we really doing oil changes or are we servicing the vehicle, right? And so that's where we look at it is our goal is to have that customer come in two times a year and have a maintenance service done, the maintenance service. So that may include an oil change, that may not include an oil change. But at the end of the day, if we use the synthetic oil, which will last longer, let's say that I think in Michigan, at least when I looked it up a couple of years ago, it was between 12 and 14,000 miles a year a car would drive. So there's a good chance that if we catch that car in our shop twice a year, there's a good chance that we could, you know, perform the maintenance checks that are necessary on the DVI. Now we have an alignment check we do on every single vehicle as it drives through the lane, because with Michigan roads, it pretty much that's necessary to do. And then more than likely, it's due for the oil change at the same time. The thinking that I had was, what if it's not due for an oil change? What if there is time left on that interval? But if they're in for two services a year, their maintenance services to check the vehicle, what's the customer's time worth? So if they have another 1,000 miles left or maybe 2,000 miles left on that oil that's in the vehicle, would it be worth it to the customer to just have it done now so that they don't have to come in 2,000 miles? So all that being said, if they visit twice a year, there might be a time that we're a little early on changing the actual oil, but the right. customer's time is worth changing it while it's in. So once we started talking that way in the shop, talking about getting rid of the oil change service and more of the maintenance service, the maintenance interval service, right, where we bring them in twice a year, everything else just kind of fell into place that makes sense. Because then we check their alignment, we check their fluids, we do the DVI, and they may need something, they may not. And it just, and plus with the four seasons in Michigan, right, sometimes in the same day, we're able to check things that are going to be upcoming for the next season, whether it's antifreeze and things like that. So that was our thought process behind it, was not an oil change, but a maintenance service.
We had shifted all of our oil changes to services also, just like Joe said. So our services we did in two different methods. We did a standard and we went to a premium, which included a tire rotation, all of that, right? It's embedded together as a package. So, right. And again, just like Joe said, it was meeting with all of our people in our store and saying, hey, what's the best thing for the customer? The customer is, we don't want to see them 3,000 and then another 3,000 and another 3,000. So typically it's 5,000 to 6,000 miles for an oil service. And, you know, you're doing your tire rotations at that time too. So, I mean, we made that shift to put all that together in one package. When we got rid of all the conventional and the 3,000 mile verbiage, all that went away.
What's ironic too about that is we are looking for a target customer as well, right? We're not just looking for people that want an oil change done. We're looking for a win-win. We're looking for a customer that values what we offer. Like in Bill said, $100 oil change or whatever that maintenance service is, it doesn't matter. We're filtering those customers, right? Because we're not $19.99. We're not $26.99. We're not that. We're telling those customers, hey, we have a service that we're going to provide, and we're looking for that customer that values that service. At the same time, when those people come in what you said, every 3,000, well, there's nothing to do every 3,000 on these cars today, right?
Right.
So why come in every 3,000 or even 5,000, right? It's just too soon. But when we spread that out, we're actually saving the customer time. It's more productive for them as well, because in 7,500 miles or twice a year, they're probably going to need wiper blades, maybe an air filter, cabin filter. So they're getting more done during their visit versus just coming in and tying up their day, tying up our hoist. And we're just wearing out our hoist, wearing out our techs, all of that. Ironically, our car count, and I don't know about you guys, has dropped over the past couple, 2-3 years, right? And I think one of the big things is we're pushing the customers out. Hey, come in. Okay, in 6 months, you're due again. But what hasn't, our average ticket has gone up dramatically. The reason why is because we're filtering a customer that values our service, what we have to offer. So when they do come in, they're more likely to purchase something to take care of their vehicle. They're not just there for the cheap oil change. Number two, the inspections, we have time to do it. We used to schedule oil services for our oil changes back then. We call them maintenance oil service. Now, we used to schedule them every half hour. Now we schedule them every hour and a half.
Yeah.
Right. So we're taking the time, we're taking the pressure off the general service tech or the tech apprentice to actually perform a valid vehicle inspection. Take the time, go through everything, take 10 pictures per car, present that to the customer, every customer. And it's just a better service, better value overall by taking a step back, slow it down, do a proper inspection, change the oil, even though it might be a little bit early. Right. But then we have to factor in time again for that customer.
Hey, Carm here. Now, coming up, Bill explains an inspirational story about turning a customer away that wanted an oil change. Hey, if you run more than one shop, you know how vital it is to keep up with how each one is performing, but it can drive you crazy to log in and out of each shop's database as you try to compare KPIs. Well, stop making it hard. With Shopware's advanced analytics, you can easily pull all the data into one report. Heck, you can even set up the system to pump it out in a graph or a chart, then email it to you anytime you want it. Why tax your brain before you even start looking for trends and wins to celebrate? Let the computer do all the work for you. Spend less time sifting through pages of numbers. Now, once you've seen your business's potential right in front of you, you can take steps to make it even better. Now, then you can take the night off to enjoy the time you just won back. Benefit. And go with the team that created DVX. My friends at GetShopware.com. Do you lie awake at night wondering why your competitors have hundreds of five-star reviews, but you only have a few? What's one thing that top auto shops like Urban Auto Care have that sets them apart from the rest? Well, it's hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Literally, you could have this too. When do you ask for a review? Well, there's actually an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. According to Broadly, the best time to ask for a review is immediately after a service. They know. Think about it. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied their needs for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Rest easy with Broadly, which gets you more online reviews and more people coming into your shop. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. When you guys moved to this because you knew it was the right thing to do, Bill, for all the right reasons, we need less inventory. Anybody just say, no, I need to come back every three, put the cheap stuff in? Or are they saying, Bill, we trust you, let's do this?
I don't know if I remember the last time that happened. And I'm literally not exaggerating, Carm. What Joe is talking about, what Jim is referring to, we're not even just talking about oil changes here. We're not even talking, you can call it a 5K service or an oil change, whatever the hell it is. It's an interview question. It's a question whereby a customer says, how much is your oil change? You don't need to be a smart aleck about it. You don't need to say, well, how much do you think it should cost, right? You just throw your number out there and just say, well, they range somewhere between $75 and $150, depending on what you're driving. By and large, that's what it is. And what you get at that point in time, if you get a shock from a customer, it's like, wow, how come so much, right? That conversation is the reason why you don't have one-star reviews on your board. It's the reason why you don't have customers storming out, disillusioned, while you're wasting your time doing inspections on customers who have no intention of buying.
What a great point.
If you just take full synthetic oil and say, we're going to make this a trigger point or a guardrail so that if the customer stays within our confines, if within the reason why we do an oil change for $100 and that's cheaper for that customer's car than the $22 oil change at pick your place. The kid that's working on that car got fired from the car wash next door. Now he's doing an oil changes on a $40,000 vehicle. That's leased that the guy says, well, it doesn't care. It's not my car. I don't own it. So I'll just put the cheapest oil in it. Okay. Wait till the dealer tells you that you're going to buy an engine for that vehicle, you know, thinking you're going to just be able to put anything in it. So again, the point of that is these are interview questions along the way. And if you, the more you do that, the more you realize that you're creating an energy stream. And without getting weird about this, there's an energy there where customers come in the door and they just get it. I don't know how to describe it. They just come in and we don't have problems with people pricing stuff out. It just doesn't happen. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain that other than if you just have faith in the process, it eventually gets to a point where customers come in the door and those customers are bringing other customers that understand what you understand. And that is that you provide the cheapest opportunity for service for them at a higher price than perhaps a lot of places around town. Sounds counterintuitive, and yet it works.
Well, their expectations are completely changed, you know, based on that.
You're educating them. And Bill, to your point, if they're buying in, they've just rested their hat on your company. And I think the confidence that you explain to them, this is why we did it, this is why we're doing it, this is why it's good for you, why would they drive into a $29.95 quick lube when they know you're doing something? It's almost like you're giving them Tiffany's, you're giving them Nordstrom. Yeah, maybe more money, but I'll do the math for you. Let me also dial in the value of your time. And let me say one more thing about why we do what we do. Life is crazy. It gets busy. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Our synthetic oil will give you a little bit more mileage in case you can't get in on time.
And by the way, they trust you. They trust you to make the decision for them. They don't want to know what the best oil is and the chemical properties. Or I don't want to know, and I'm in the business. All I care about is my supplier who supplies me with our oil is providing me with the best product I can get for the reasonable amount of money. So first, and then I don't look at my price changes and think, well, you know, I need to find another supplier who's going to give me 12 cents off of a quart of oil, whatever. I have a relationship with these people. So when I do business with them the way I do business, isn't it interesting how that works the other way around too, with customers that treat us with the same level of respect that we treat our suppliers? So there's that part of that too.
So look, at I'm coming into your shop. Joe, do you have a couple of tiers on the premium oil service?
I don't.
Okay, it's just one.
Yeah, just the one price, and it's going to be dependent upon what the car is. And the reason that I don't, and I'm not saying I shouldn't maybe, but what we're doing is working. In the beginning, we try to say, okay, well, bundle A is going to be, you know, when you do need your tire rotation and when you do need I think there was something else with that. Oh, an alignment, doing alignment. And then we found out they don't always need the alignment. And nobody followed our rules. Like all the customers, they just kind of went where they didn't follow our intervals. So I said, well, does it really matter to have a bundle? Because if they're coming in anyway, and we're spending time doing a full inspection, and they need the service, and they trust us that when they need the service, then they're going to buy it anyway. So rather than complicate it, to me, it was complicated because they didn't always need what we offered. But I know that they're there because they were there for the maintenance, inspection, and oil service. So we just stuck with that, and it works.
So do you have a different price for domestic versus European versus truck versus diesel at all?
Well, big trucks, yeah, I mean, that's a whole... But it's not a package price. It's the price is the price. We do run a direct mail flyer that's a lower price, and I don't make any money per se on that because that's for new customers. And for a new customer, I'm giving a little, and they're coming in to try us out. So then they'll get a discount on that, but it's a discount on the oil service. So they don't know how we do things, right? I mean, if we were to advertise a bundle, an oil change and whatever else bundle, what if they don't need the things in the bundle, right?
It's funny you brought that up, Joe, because we're running into those hurdles. Those hurdles that we have is with our bundle, we may have a person that isn't going to be rotating those tires because we're in a seasonal area. So now all of a sudden we're pulling tires off. Instead of rotating, you're changing the tires. So that, again, changes the whole view of what the bundle is. So we haven't overcome that challenge yet, but we have that in our sights to attack come up with a good solution for that.
We do a full digital vehicle inspection on every vehicle. We pay our technicians 0.3. So when I look through, that might cost us in a shop a couple thousand bucks a month, right? Well, that's my investment towards taking care of the customer's vehicle.
Right.
But it works because they trust us and they buy things from those inspections. And so it works out. So I never got into the bundles. We tried them just like you did, Jim, and it just never worked for us. But I do know, in fact, that customer beyond a shadow of a doubt needs an inspection. And they're probably going to need the oil change while that's in for that inspection. Simplicity. That's another thing we need to look at with this. And when we look at why don't we stock all these different oils? Because we want simplicity. I mean, talk about mind-boggling at the counter for the service advisor to go through and decipher what do we put in the semi-blend, semi-synthetic, full synthetic, conventional. 65 tanks out there in the shop. Hey, call them your vendor. Hey, we're out of this one oil again. Can you come back out? Oh, we were just out. Listen, no, we're going to keep it simple because simplicity is good for everything. It's good for efficiency. It's good for selling because their mind is not clouded. It's good for the customer because they know what to expect every time. Right. So that's why we do it that way. Nothing wrong with bundles. It's just for us, it never works.
Have you guys ever had a customer teach you a lifelong lesson in business as you were firing them and they were firing you? I had a customer years ago. We were in the $20 oil change business, like most of us were back in the day. The car comes in and it had a fuel leak. Tire rod is ready to fall off the car. The car was a disaster. And so back then, we would do an oil change before we did an inspection. And so I approached the customer. I said, are you aware of the fact that we've got all this going on here with the vehicle? And he says, yeah, I'm aware of it. I'm going to get take care of it myself. I'm just here for the oil change. And I turn around, getting ready to go back and do the oil change, you know, have them do the oil change. I walked back. I said, you know, I'm sorry. I don't think we're going to be able to do this oil change for you. And he said, why not? I'm a customer. A customer's always right. You have to do this. You know, you can't decline my business. I said, the hell I can. I'm the owner here. And I'm choosing to not put an unsafe vehicle on the road. I said, I don't need a $20 oil change that badly, such that I'm going to send you off on the road. You know you're driving a death trap. But the woman that's driving a vehicle in the opposite direction or something at 50 miles an hour doesn't know that. That's going to be on my mind if something happens. And by the way, why would you want to do business with somebody that would put your vehicle out on the road unsafe after an oil change? And he was sort of just stunned. I could have left him an opening to come back to us, but I think he was so embarrassed that he didn't come back, and I'm not missing him these days. But that gentleman, God bless him for that. He taught me a valuable lesson about this idea that we're going to do an oil change or any service whatsoever. I don't care if it's a freaking tire repair. When that vehicle comes in the door, you do an inspection on that vehicle to make sure that at least it leaves out that it's in safe condition. Because why would you want to encourage somebody? Why would you want to have your name in that glove compartment when that vehicle's sitting upside down somewhere? You don't think that lawyer's coming after you at that point in time? So that's the other part of this oil change business, is we treat it like in and out, 15 minutes, you know, a 10-minute, we specialize in quick 10-minute oil changes. Like it's something to take lightly. You know, this is your name. Get out of the $20, $50 oil change business. If ever we've had a chance to be able to do that, to step out and say to the industry at large, to say to our marketplace at large, this is why I deserve the gap. And that gap is $10 an hour more, 20 bucks an hour more. And when that customer says, well, what makes you think you can do that? I got two ASE master mechanics in my shop, and I've got the same guys. If you've been a customer of mine for 10, 15 years, it's the same people behind the counter. Try that for the next 50 places along the road here, right? Mm-hmm. You can do that if you're running a business like Jim and Joe are running these days.
I know that we discourage people from waiting. The oil change, the way it's been consistently in the past, is people, again, that $20 oil change makes people feel as if I'm just going to sit and wait. It's only 20 bucks. I'm going to sit and wait. Well, I mean, I think this moving either to a service, a maintenance service, makes it sound that it's longer, because it does take longer to do a better job. We have to have the car in the bay. We have to we test drive everything pre and post. And even if it's just an oil service, it's non-debatable for our end. I mean, we're doing a DVI, just, you know, as Bill and Joe said, we don't have people waiting for a service like that. So, I mean, they're expecting a total different quality level.
You can't obviously put out a $29.95 oil change that the person is expecting quick and do a full inspection and consider that this client of yours is a client of yours. I think that's so important. You know what I forgot to do about a half hour ago? I forgot to introduce you guys.
Oh.
I mean, I see you. You're all sitting there saying, oh, he never introduced us. And I feel so bad about that. Joe Hansen, Gordy's Garage in Roseville, Michigan, multi-shop owner. Are you up to three or four now, or just two?
Two, but that won't be for long.
You see, I knew that. I knew he was going to say that. I know Joe. He's on fire. Bill Naylor is with us, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan. And Jim Fleischman, Automotive Alley, Arcade, New York, about 30 miles away from where I am. Thanks, guys. Very interesting. I have a question. And again, Joe, you've got one oil change. I get it. But do you guys bundle like Soltec or BG in any of that stuff that you do?
We do. Yeah, we put BG in there.
Okay. And you throw it in there, or it's an add-on?
Oh, no, they pay. That's extra. Yeah. But there's certain customers that are just, what's interesting about that is, like, you know, if you've got customers that you've put that product in, whether it's BG or another line, the next time they come in, they want the same thing, right? You want the same thing, right? Yes, we do. Okay. And, you know, whether it's the fuel additive or whatnot with it, or the engine oil cleaner, all that. But you'll find that people are creatures of habit. And once they use it once and they're happy with it, they're going to continue to use that. So, yeah. But we don't have that, like, a set bundle per se for that, if you will, Carm. They come in, they need it. That's an add-on.
And is it because you know that that vehicle has certain issues with it, and you know if they really want it to run right, if you love the way the car ran when it was at 10,000 miles on it, then we can make it run just as nice at 80.
Yeah, we keep those little actuators sitting at the counter and the guys will pull them. I see, this here is way more expensive than that, so let's put that in so we don't do this. And they go, oh, okay. Thanks, Keith. Okay, or Jay. And they do it. So,
Bill, Jim, you do anything like that?
I subscribe to the Johansson of keeping it simple. Wasn't it Branson that said, he said, anybody can make a complicated thing complicated. He says, it takes geniuses to make a complicated thing simple, right? So I think we could do a better job at the BG business and the bundling of things. But the one thing I want, not to derail anything, but this is really important. I want to make sure we don't ever miss this. Some of these synthetic oil changes, they'll go 7,500 miles, 10,000 miles. Please be careful with that stuff. I don't like our customers to go beyond 6,000 miles. So what we tell them is, although our oil holds up for 10,000 miles, although our filtration will hold up whatever, 8, and in the case of Euro stuff, you get a VW and all that stuff, we can use the VW spec oil. VW says it's going to be 10,000 miles. We tell our customers, you can go 10,000 miles like the factory says, but here's the data on what happens at 80, 90, 100,000 miles. Or you can do what we're telling you to do, and that is just bring it in every 6,000 miles. Some of these vehicles burn oil. So what do we say to them? One of the things that we throw in, and this is the interesting thing about it, is we offer customers, we'll top up their oil for free if they swing by here. They don't necessarily, they'll just do it on their own. And so what does that show you? It shows you that we don't necessarily need to see you in the next 6 to 7 or 8,000 miles. But while you're gone, don't think that our sticker means that you can't check under that hood. If this thing's low 2 or 3 quarts of oil, you need to be aware of that. And that's the other thing that I'm so proud of my guys for doing, is that we'll check the oil level first so that if we've got an oil burner, if we've got a vehicle that's consuming some oil, maybe we've got a guy that's putting 30,000, 40,000 miles a year on his car because he's a salesman, that car's going to burn a little bit more oil at 80, 90 miles an hour on the freeway all day long than it is at 35 miles an hour running around, you know, town. So it's really important to make sure that customer understands is just because you've got an extended interval here now and it's convenient doesn't mean you can just check out and not come back and see us. And so we encourage our customers all the time to come back. We top up their washer solvent, you know, but just to time some of our fleet accounts. They'll just swing by here. We put, you know, hit the horn. We put some washer solvent or whatever it might be, check their fluids, and away they go. And that's really, really something that they appreciate.
Well, we try to educate any of our clients based on all the data that we have from the DVIs. I mean, we talk about it in our meetings, in the company meetings. We bring up all the DVI services that we've done, and there's a line right in there that shows a picture of the dipstick with no oil on it, and it's car after car after car after car. And how we came up with our process is we include BG in our premium service. It's the EPR MOA. And the reason for it is because it's car after car that has no oil on the dipstick or 2 or 3 quarts low. And you try to just make sure that the customer or client knows that, hey, this is why we're not going 75, 10,000 miles, 12,000 miles on an oil change, regardless if it is an oil that is designed to go 10 to 15,000 miles without changing. I mean, Mobil 1 or Castrol, I think, has just upped their limit again. And you go, it's crazy to see people that think it's okay to go that far when the engine and the oil consumption is out of this world in today's society because the viscosity is so low and the low tension rings. All of these reasons are why you shouldn't be out of your service station's hands for more than 6,000 miles.
Right. Yeah, we're not working in a lab.
Yeah.
Right, we're in the streets. We, you know, to your point, Jim, I mean, how many times does a car come in and that customer said, well, the oil light didn't come on for the maintenance. And we're like, well, you're out of oil. And they have they think that the oil light's supposed to come on for them to be due for an oil change. And it's just like, it's so bizarre.
Not the red one.
Right. And it's so bizarre. And it's like, how come people don't know that today, right? But that's another reason they need to be coming in twice a year, irregardless of the condition of the oil, so we can keep that relationship and that build and educating them along the way. That it's so important. I mean, it just doesn't make sense in so many ways that we've already covered. But I'd like to just throw in another thing to look at is we know that these vehicles are changing, like they're going EV, they're going whatever they end up being, right? The oil change business is not going to be, and it's not what it was. So we do have to shift, just for being smart business people, we do have to shift into the fact that we need to sell maintenance. We need to sell maintenance checkouts. We need to sell maintenance interval. That's what we need to be talking about, not just doing an oil change. That's such a thing of the past. I remember when I was in the 20 group with John Loeffler and RLO, and that was a topic he had brought up, and it was so foreign to even think, what do you mean we're not going to talk about selling oil changes? It was just like, it was odd, right? But then the more you think about it, you're like, he's right. That's right. And then, then eventually our whole group's selling, interval service, not oil changes, right? We changed the name of everything. That's just what we did. So food for thought for the future. We're going to have to evolve our thinking into a different way of servicing these vehicles and again, this could just go on and on this conversation, because then it leads into even your counter help, right? They're not just gearheads. They're not just people that know about cars, right? They're talking, they have to have the customer's best interest in hand and be able to communicate with those people and with our customers and develop those relationships and make it comfortable for them to come back, because wherever there's change, they have to trust the person telling them about the change, right? They're not just going to go for it. They have to trust that counter person. So it might sound unrelated, but it's really not. I mean, the longer the intervals go, the sharper the individuals we have to have on our counter to educate the people. So
Barry Barrett seems to keep hitting me in the head as I'm listening to you. When your counter people are making statements, right? It sounds like you're lecturing to the customer. And some customers are, I'm a former engineer. How dare you talk to me about chemical properties or whatever? But when you start asking questions, now you're opening them up. Now you're opening them up to investigating where they're coming from, right? So when a customer says to me, for example, how come so much, right? The answer like this, I remember this at ATI, who was it that said, Mike Haley, I think it was, it says, I look at my phone bill, I look at my electric bill, and I look at all of the stuff that cost me all this, the cost, everything seems to be going up. And I agree with you. I can't believe how much things cost also. Now, will that be cash or credit? I'm being silly at the end here, right. But the fact of the matter is sometimes they just want to vent because they just can't get their mind wrapped around how an oil change that used to cost $20 is now $100. Yeah. Have you seen the complication with cars lately? No, they haven't seen it. They don't know and they don't care. He's like, well, I'm still driving a 16-year-old car or a 20-year-old car. My car doesn't need that oil. That's great. But the 80% that we're working on now require this grade of oil in here. And so because of our customer base and because of where we're at, because the synthetic oil costs 40 cents a quart more than the mineral. Mineral-based oil is going to be more expensive than synthetic oil here soon. You know it's going to be because environmental costs. Those are the conversations that we have to train our people to have over the counter if you don't want the one-star reviews online.
I don't know. Do you all know I'm a note taker? So, you guys are friends. You speak. I listen and I write. And so I wrote this down. First of all, the oil light comes on my dash, right? The red oil light. Not the one that says maintenance due on the big screen, but the little red light, right?
We don't like the red light.
That's right. And so I, as a consumer, go to Google and type in red oil light, and they tell me that I may have. So what do? They're driving down the road, they find the quick oil change, and they go in. And so they did this on their own, irrelevant of the fact that they have this outstanding relationship with Joe, Jim, and Bill. And I'm going to get on my soapbox about I am your Google. So pick up the phone, text me, let me be your Google. Hey, Bill, my red oil light's on. What's up? And so I think that's important in the dialogue that we have with our people. Please don't DIY this. Don't Google it. I am your Google. And then one other thought future about maintenance. And I wrote down brake maintenance, maybe not brake change. I need brakes, but brake maintenance. And as the EVs come, they're going to need brakes. We're going to need a suspension maintenance. We may need cabin maintenance. Oh, because we're going to change the filter, the air conditioning, the HVAC maintenance, because, the thought was, and I was at a recent event and talking to an air conditioning specialist, and he said, they're trying to figure out how to keep all those batteries cool. Don't you think they may use the air conditioning system in that vehicle to help do that? Well, Carm, that's going to be a load or a tax on that system and more to go wrong. So I think it's brilliant that as we keep pace with what's happening out there, that we condition our customers into the world of maintenance and looking at these key components.
Every manufacturer of every vehicle out there has a recommended maintenance schedule. And the one item that is always overlooked, and I know this is going to seem like we're going down the wrong hole, but is the tire rotation has always been in the 6,000 mile range. So people always have in their head that the tire rotation happens every other oil change.
Yeah.
And so because the old 3,000 mile or the 3K service was happening, so now they think that the tire rotation happens every other service still, even though it's 6,000 miles. So if they were going to do the 7,500 or 10,000, like Bill had mentioned earlier, you're going to be coming there anyways to get your tires rotated at six. So that's where a lot of our focus has been, is why we're in that 6,000 mile range. I think is important for everybody, is the tire maintenance is important.
Jim, any fight back when you made this change with your technicians? There's a lot of old timers out there, and no disrespect, but you know, they were used to, they believe so much in the three. Was it difficult at all to move some guys?
In our company meetings, we talked about it, and everybody understands the differences between the conventional and the semi-synthetic and the synthetic oil. And again, this is a conversation that we all talked about earlier was, I mean, here, Bill said, hey, I got rid of inventory. So do we. Everybody got rid of inventory. We don't have to pile our shelves full of everything. And we just went with, you know, less stock. And then Joe says, hey, I can even get down to less viscosities. Instead of having 10 viscosities, you have four or five or two or one, you know, depending on what that is. But there was, as far as buying power, it was easy for all of us. We have good people that are educated on right and wrong in the industry.
In my other life, our family was a mobile oil distributor. And we learned an awful lot. You know, not only Fleet and, you know, their Delvac oil, but when Mobil 1 was out, and how many of us fought the 25,000 mile Mobil 1. Their engineers would come in and talk to our customers, and son of a gun, didn't they say, this is really good stuff. It goes that long. But it was the biggest marketing blunder we ever did, because we were living in the world back then when Mobil 1 came out that it was 3,000 or never, right? And you had to do it. And all of a sudden, these people were coming out, not even coming close to even wanting to consider a 25,000-mile oil, which would last that long. And so now we're putting Mobil 1 in vehicles that are going six and getting really excellent protection. This is not an ad for Mobil 1, but I'll never forget fighting an uphill battle trying to make Mobil 1 a very important part of an option for customers.
The most important part of, if someone's looking, if they have a shop and they're looking to make a change into a longer service interval or go to full synthetic, the implementation of that is absolutely everything, right? You've got to have a game plan in the beginning, whatever your game plan is. I mean, we kept a real simple game plan on how we did it. And we just did it again at the other shop. Actually, they're moving tanks at our other shop right now, to be honest with you, today. And the implementation of what we did is we had a shop meeting, because we had to get buy-in. We had to,
right.
We had to set that vision for the shop, say, hey, if we do this, this is what it's going to look like for the shop. And this is what it's going to look like for the customer. So, and then we just talk through it. Things like what interval do we pick for when the oils actually should be changed? What do we all agree on? Let's get feedback. Let's check with our oil distributors. Let's find out what they say on the oil. Let's look at some of the old timers, as you say, in the shop and get their feedback, because they have valuable insight into what they've seen over the years, right? And then at the end of the day, you know, in that meeting, we figure out what is included, right? You call it a bundle. We didn't call it a bundle, but to your point, Jim, if they're coming in every 6,000 miles plus or two times a year, they need their tires rotated every time. I mean, they just do. So you put that in there with it. So you find out what is it you're going to be offering. And then the other part of the implementation is the counter. What are you saying to the customer on the phone when they call? What are you saying to that customer at the counter when you tell them it's, you know, $80 or whatever, and they come back with objections like you were talking about, Bill? You know, and a simple thing that we like to, and we learned this, you mentioned Barry, and he's the master of questions, right? So when we talk to our customers, we say, hey, what would it mean to you if you could just come in two times a year and have all the maintenance either performed or at least know about what's due on your vehicle instead of every three, four times a year? What if we could just schedule you two times a year? How would that look for you? And the customers loved it, because they're like, well, that's pretty simple. If I just got to think about it, I got to come in here twice a year and you're going to tell me what I need on my car. Yeah, that sounds good. it's very simple. You've just walked in right into the maintenance schedule of, hey, I'll see you in 6 months. You're going to get a reminder. You're going to get, you know, you're going to get a flyer. You're going to get a text. You're going to get a phone call too. If you don't respond to those, you're going to get that, right? Or if you're really savvy, you can book that 6 month interval right then. I admit I'm not the best at that. We struggle with that. The 6 month actually pre-booking it, but I hear shops that just kill it doing that.
Yeah. But you do it with your dentist, Joe.
I know.
It's different.
I still got
different.
My teeth, so it is different. I don't know.
Why is it different, guys? By the way, the dentists are not scheduling at the front counter anymore. They're scheduling inside the room. At least my dentist is. No, don't go to the counter and find a date. You're doing it right here. So the person who's working with your, you know, the dentist assistant is doing. So what do? You pull this thing out that we call a smart device that's somehow connected to us invisibly, biologically to us, because we can't live without it. And we look at our calendar and we say, yes, that's a great date. And if something happens, we change it. We move it.
Yeah. And we've tried that and it does work for some. I don't know. It's probably my fault training. It probably is. I just haven't led right to get them to do it. But as far as like the simplicity of the implementation, it's just that at the counter, right? Just asking that question. Hey, if I could show you, you could come in 2 times a year and have your oil change and the basic things that we know you're going to need, plus let you know about anything else. How does that sound to you? Sounds good. Great. This is what we're going to do. So you just move them right into it, right? And then it's good. And then you get with your suppliers and you say, okay, look, let's move these tanks. Let's get this simplified. And we made a better work environment. What we're doing right now. I mean, we have one guy, he's got like another, it's like a whole nother bay just to work. He's got his toolbox over there. He's got more free. It just improved everything. So that's just the point. Like, set that vision for what it's going to look like. It's not just about the customer and what we're going to do with the customer's car. It's like, what would this place look like if we did it that way? That would mean we would do less cars and we would get more per car. That means you're working not as hard. You're working smarter. That means we're not wearing out your tools. We're not wearing out your hoist. That we're not, the advisors aren't standing there with 4 customers waiting all the time. This is the vision we need to set. It's a more orchestrated event, if you will, for everything, all from selling maintenance versus quick, cheap, do it now oil changes as they wait, standing there in your face. That doesn't work.
We're 48 minutes in and we're talking about oil changes and maintenance service. And this has been so interesting. There's been so much good stuff discussed. And so I hope our industry values what we're doing here for them, because I think this was there's probably a lot of shops that need to move in this direction. So thank you all for being here. Bill, let's go around the room. Anything that we didn't cover, anything you want to say?
At risk of repeating what I've said 100 times before with you and I talking, we either train the customer to do business the way we know how to do business, or the customer trains us to do business the way they think business should be done. Their way is a lose-lose proposition. Our way is a win-win. Going back to what Joe was talking about, he's asking a binary question that only has one correct answer, and that is yes. It sounds reasonable to me that I should come in twice a year. If they say no, that's another breadcrumb that they're leaving, that they're not your customer. That's not to be mean to them, or that we're too good for them, or any of this stuff. Just we're not aligned. Maybe they'll get it one day. Maybe they'll hire enough $20 oil change places so that they do understand that we are the cheapest option in town. But until then, it sounds like we're not there yet, Mr. Customer.
There's always great words of wisdom. I always cling to every one of them, Bill. Thank you. Jim?
We implemented our process in this, you know, as of the first of the year. We went to this package, and in this package, put our tire rotation, a DVI, brake inspection, all of that together. We had kind of morphed out of that conventional oil change 6 months prior to that, so it was the end of last year. But you know, can't disagree with what Joe had mentioned earlier about keeping it simple. We tried to keep it simple. I mean, there are things that constantly get thrown at us and questions, you know, up in the front end of the stores is what do we do in this situation now because of this? This person's doing this. Well, we don't have that answer, but we're compiling the data and seeing if we're going to make changes. We may make a change to that, just like Joe said, you know, keeping it simple. But what we're seeing is everyone's coming from 6,000 miles, you know, has morphed to that 6,000 miles, and we're doing a tire rotation anyways. I mean, that's their time. So that's why we put that together in that package.
Real quick, is testing a battery in the DVI? Is it in the maintenance inspection? Where is that? Is it always in the DVI?
We don't currently do that. And I know I've watched and talked to many people that do that. And I would say that would probably be my next hit is to incorporate. I mean, we have a 55-point DVI to begin with. I don't know what you guys are at as far as how many points that you're really touching and or inspecting. Joe, I mean, you're similar to that?
Yeah, I think it's 57. And we always take a picture of the battery result only because batteries can pass today and they can fail tomorrow. So we always make sure we take a picture of that because they don't want to, hey, it was just there. Well, actually, we did check it and we sent it to you.
Yeah, we have battery condition. We aren't doing the tests on every single one, which again, we, you know, I don't have a good reason other than we just don't, and we're probably going to.
So our friend up there in Detroit, Bill, Donnie Hudson, he's got, I think, 36 AAA trucks on the road, and I was with him this week. And he got up in front of the crowd that I was with, and he told everybody how many batteries he sells every month. And it's three digits, and it's high three digits every month. That's why I asked this question of you guys, because they see so many dead batteries on the side of the road. Amazing.
He tows cars in for us. He's a great guy.
Yeah, same here. Same with Donnie's great people.
Joe, you have the last word, my friend.
So I guess the last word would be to sum it up. It's all about the customer experience, right? The better we do at making this whole process of maintaining their vehicle easy for them, they're gonna not only have a better experience with my shop, but they're going to have a better experience with the aftermarket industry as a whole. So I think that, you know, when that customer comes in, we just need to be ready to explain to them what's going to happen, why it's going to happen, ask the right questions so that they can see, you know, that we're here to serve them, to say, hey, we're doing these things because we want to be all about taking care of your vehicle, helping you stay on the road so you can live your life, do your thing, whatever it is, right? And so the customer experience is the most important part in this type of interval selling or interval timing and not selling oil changes will add so much value to that and make it totally possible to do that.
Thank you guys. This was great. I appreciate it. Maybe some people they would think that this was a boring topic, but not on your life. I think this is evolutionary in our industry, and I'm glad we talked about it. Are you offering only synthetic oil services? Was our title Joe Hansen, Gordy's Garage, Rose Multishop operator out of Roseville, Michigan, Jim Fleischman, Automotive Alley, Arcade, New York, Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan. Guys, thanks so much.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.